Otherwise, one of the things that lies there misses the 12th hour apostolic side of the congregation on that 12th hour in the Elk in Texas. Today is January 4th, 2023. Well, it is 3-3-2027. We saw the first service today with the song. So it'll be named, and then we're going to a regular sermon. Take it from volume one of the timely greeting. We're still in number 43. We're going to finish it off again. Entitled The Year of His Redeemer. I know I've gone over this several times in the last few weeks, but it's worth getting it ingrained in your mind, because he's talking about the time for these people that Abraham didn't know. Shows up here in the last parabolic hour, the 12th parabolic hour. And Isaiah is with the recording it. It's one time of greetings. We're just going to do it again, start at the very beginning, and go real slowly. See if we can remember a few high points that we need to know. It says, the year of his redeeming, the sign of the day of the vengeance, Isaiah 63, and May 31st, 1947, by Lucy Hollett. We are to study the 63rd chapter of the Isaiah. In this chapter, we find recorded a prophetic conversation among three people, three persons. First is the prophet, and number two is the Yeshua, our Savior and Redeemer, and a person living at the time that the prophecy of this chapter is fulfilled. So the subjects of the conversation are Edom. Now remember Esau, the oldest son of Isaac, inherited the birthright to be the progenitor of the righteous line occurred on in his day. Edom today is a symbol of the Seventh-day Adventist Church and her latest sin condition, not having any desire to fulfill the office that she was called to fulfill after the last prophet died, Ellen G. White, for the Adventist. And then Yahweh raised up Vicki Hollett as a second prophet to publish the present truth that was given him, and that was everything that pertained to this shepherd's rod. And that was 1930. So it says, for the prophet, number one, Yahshua, number two, and the person living at the time that the prophecy of this chapter is fulfilled. There's your key right there. Well, this prophecy is yet to be fulfilled, and I'm the last prophet up to this point to have any talk about it. So if it's fulfilled to me and our time, then we're saying then that I'm the person that is talking about as a third person. For the part that should concern us most is to know the prophetic time for the fulfillment of this prophecy. But to gain this information, I shall read verse 16. Doubtless thou art our father. Though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not, thou, O Yahshua, art our father. Notice, second person, Yahshua, in the prophecy, Isaiah is saying is our father. Then he says, comma, pause, our redeemer. And if you put the preposition in, it would read like this. Thou, O Yahshua, art our father. And our redeemer, put the conjunction in there. For thy name is from the everlasting, Isaiah 63:16. For the words of the person speaking in the behalf of the people who are brought face to face with the revelation of this chapter, he feel that he and his people are unknown to Abraham. Since Abraham well knew of the rise of the ancient Israel, but understood practically nothing of the rise of the New Testament Israel, of the apostolic that Yahshua set up with the kingdom of grace when he was here 2,000 years ago. Then the apostles descended of the seed of David, tribe of Judah, must be a people of whom he is ignorant, for the truth then stands out clear that the chapter finds its fulfillment in the antiquated apostolic era and the last days here in this first about a child that we're in now. It has to be that way, for this prophecy hadn't been fulfilled yet, and we are in the 12th parable of God since 2003. Now to find whether it is concerning the earthly or the latter day apostolic believers, we shall read. When I say apostolic believers, I'm talking about those that have accepted all the 2300 days prophecy of the cleansing of the sanctuary, the three angels' messages, the antiquated day of the atonement, the judgment of the dead beginning, and announcing that the judgment of the living will be later in a second phase of the judgment. This is what I'm talking about. Apostolic believers, and then they believe in the restored sanctuary that was restored in 1970 by Brother Johnson, including the daily, all the feast days, performing your worship time twice a day at the third hour and the ninth hour. So it says, for the people of the holiness have resisted but a little while, as our adversaries, that's it, for our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. Now the prophecy there in Daniel 8 is about the papacy during the dark ages trodden down our sanctuary, from 538 to 1798, and sitting up there across the sanctuary, which is a Catholic cathedral, "We are thine, thou never bearest rule over them. They were not called by thy name." So it says, "We are thine." The Pharisees and Sadducees and their descendants, the Catholic Church, were not ever called by Yahweh's name. It was the apostolic congregation, and told them about Yahweh's name. They're called by Yahshua's name, the Son. He's the one that came and established the everlasting kingdom of David. And when he came in person the first time, actually, he came in person the first time with Moses, that rock in the cloud, 1 Corinthians 10:4. Yahshua was with him for 40 years in the wilderness. He was that rock in the cloud, the Son. And let's continue. It says, "Thy holy cities are a wilderness." Thy holy cities, it says S on cities, are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem is a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful houses, where our fathers praised thee, is burned up with the fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Isaiah 64:10-11. Here is seen that the longing of the people is for the restoration. And I can't emphasize that strong enough, because we're talking about the literal building of the third temple, with none of the holy righteous people making up the membership of saints, starting with 144,000 from the house of David. Here it says, I'll read that again. Here it's saying that the longing of the people is for the restoration of the temple. Okay. And for the repossession of the promised land. Now the fact is that the temple and the land are still in the hands of the Arabs, and even this day, and the unbelieving Jews. And even that's exactly the case in Israel today in the 12th Kabbalic hour. And there's a great war going on over there over the possession of that land. And all those that's over fighting over it are not going to need it. None of them went out. There's not going to be no winners from their fighting. The winners is going to be when Yahshua brings his great army in Revelation, or in Zechariah 14, and Joel chapter 2, over there, and wipes them out and sets up the everlasting kingdom that shall never be destroyed, or let the other people, but it shall stand forever. Daniel 2:44-5. Those who were never called by his name. And those people that's over and occupying Israel today and running it, they were never called by his name. That's the reason why they didn't run out of it. Never called apostolic believers of the Nazarene Creed, and that's Yahshua, the Son of the Nazarene. That's where he came out of, where he lived for 18 years after he came back from out of Egypt. I mean, that's where he lived for 24 years after he came from out of Egypt. Okay. There's proof positive that chapters 63 and 64 are fulfilled in the latter part of the apostolic era, and the 12th Kabbalah Tower, and the era of the second brass mountain that's pointed out there in Zechariah chapter 6, the part in which the time of the Gentiles and the promised land is fulfilled. And that is, it's happening right now, even as we speak, as I speak. They've been driven out right now. Moreover, that these chapters are now unveiled unto us, and also the fact that the message for today, and I'm talking about in the 12th prayer by the jar, not in the 10th prayer by the jar, when Beecher Hollis wrote this in 1947. We're in the 12th prayer by the jar since 2002, and we've been 21 years in the 12th prayer by the jar, and still looking for the fulfillment of Isaiah 63. Has caused us to cry unto Yahshua for just such a deliverance, with the facts that the time for the fulfillment of the prophecy that is in these chapters is already here. And I'm speaking and reading this as a living prophet here. I'm bringing this up to 2023 or 2024, as they call it, as present truth. And this time, since you now positively know that these chapters are concerning you and me, we are ready to start the study of the chapters verse by verse. So you start with Isaiah 63:1. Who is this that cometh from Edom with thy garment? In other words, who is this that comes from the kingdom of Esau, the firstborn of Isaac, the progenitor of the righteous line that had inherited the birthright in his day, to continue the righteous line and be the priest of his father's house? Jacob didn't inherit that. He said it wrong, but he coveted it. Jacob ended up with it, with that birthright. So this is what we're talking about. Either Esau-ites or Jacob-ites, either the capital of Edom or the capital of Jerusalem. So when I reach kingdom, when I reach Edom, I'm talking about the kingdom of Esau that didn't have Yahweh's blessing. Okay. So it says, here's a pearl. Travailing in the greatness of his strength, I that speak, and the righteousness mighty to save. In the vision, the prophet saw someone with the bloodstained garment hastily returning from Edom and Bozrah. To the prophet's question, who is this that cometh from Edom with the dyed garments from Bozrah, came the answer, I that speak in the righteousness mighty to save. Who else could this person be but the Yahshua, son of Yahweh himself, as the Savior of the world, as the mighty one to save? Again the prophet asked, Isaiah 63:2, wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winepress? For the answer unto these questions introduces a series of the solemn events. For the events recorded in Isaiah 63:3-5, I have trodden the winepress alone and of the people, there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garment. And I will stain all my raiment, for the day of the vengeance is in mine heart, meaning the year of his redeeming. It's a certain year, and the year of my redeem is come. So when it says is come, it means when you get the fulfillment of this prophecy, then it means that thou sure has appeared and is here. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. His own arm is his kingdom of David with the 144,000. But actually it's not the 144,000 yet, it's the house of David. Okay. For the statement, I have trodden the winepress alone. This again. Once again, for the statements, I have trodden the winepress alone. I left, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. All in the past tense show that the Savior's zeal and determination for the saving of his misled people at his first advent, though there was no one with him to help. That is, all the priests of the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees that occupied the temple there in Jerusalem, run the temple, and the religious leaders, the general conference of his day, for the Sanhedrin were against him. Instead of helping him in his work, that the statements, for I have, will read them in, will tread them in mine anger. Just read again. For the statements, for I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of the vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeem is come. Well, this would be Ezekiel 9, the five angels with the slaughtering weapon at the time of cleansing the sanctuary completely and bring forth the purified 144,000. And there was none to help, but I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation unto me. And in other words, my kingdom of Daniel 2, 4, 4, and 45, and those stones here now the mount without hands that represents the kingdom of David, that yes, that sure himself hewed out of the Adventist church. He said that without any physical flesh behind, he says that it was brought salvation unto me. So that little stone, you know, not our hands, representing the house of David, it's the one that brought salvation. And I represented the house of David that permanently at the Gilead Center when it closed up. And I'm the one that told verse, if you don't restore the daily, I will, and establish the sanctuary and the full operation in order to bring forth 144,000. in a pyramid, or in the future tense, shows the present church's condition. So that was showing the condition of Gilead Center, the last church and last feeding pasture for the Adventist, with his prophet as the head of the candlestick, Brother Johnson, with inspiration. He was the one that had the inspiration to produce the creation calendar according to the creation week of Genesis, not only except 6,000 years ago. Johnson was given the light of how to get back on the correct time that we started out with 6,000 years ago. Equally, and I inherited that calendar, and my wife has published a new one today, this year. She's got it already on the website at evanfowlcall.com, and you can go to it to get the correct days for keeping the feast days in 2024, 2025, and that's his first coming. But even much worse, how true that the history repeats as the day of the vengeance approaches. Those who are supposed to uphold and help in the work of the redemption, the leaders of the 11th hour of Gilead Center, Brother Johnson and his son, his ordained anointed ministry that he anointed, that was his assistant for 33 years, the ministers and religious leaders, the antithetical Sanhedrin of the day, the General Conference, are seen to be hindering, standing these antithetical Sanhedrin and Pharisees. The General Conference, a president which are Jesuit Catholics, they're the infiltrators and the invaders. They're actually invaders that have with a strong arm taken over the Adventist Church forcibly in his way of reaching the people. Thus they incur the displeasure, and thus he girds himself for the freeing of his people from the hands of the unfaithful shepherds, for they caused him to stain his garments. So these unfaithful shepherds of the General Conference Adventist ministers today, they're the ones that have forcibly taken over the Adventist Church, so that they have to answer them to heaven for not carrying on the actual spiritual work that the Adventist was called in 1844, and that is to teach and explain the fulfillment of the 2300 days prophecy of the cleansing of the sanctuary of Daniel 8:14, the antithetical day of the atonement, the judgment of the dead and the living, the teaching of all five angels' messages here in the 11th or the 12th parabolic God that we're in now. This is what's fallen on those invaders, those usurpers, those strong-armed officers that came in and invaded and completely put the Adventist Church on a course back to the spiritual Egypt. And that's where they are today, Isaiah 63 says, "And I will tread down the people in my anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength unto the earth." For the Rashi's brief explanation of the situation is amplified by the prophet Ezekiel by saying, "He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate that lieth toward the north, and every man with a slaughter weapon in his hand, and one man among them was clothed with the linen with the writer's ink horn tied. He aside, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar, and the glory of the Yahshua, the son of the Israel, he's the glory of Israel, was gone up from the chariot whereupon he was. Okay. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 26, for a confirmation of Yahshua being the one sitting upon the throne of his glory. Whereupon, it's a traveling throne. Whereupon he was to the threshold of the house, and he called unto the man clothed with the linen that had the writer's ink torn by his side. And the Yahshua said unto him, go through the midst of the Seventh-day Adventist city, through of those Jesuits, gangsters, underground mafia, through the midst of Jerusalem, because they're occupying Jerusalem, the leadership, the general conference, the spiritual Jerusalem. So go through the midst of them, because that's where their ministers live. They live in the city of Jerusalem, whereas the president, he lives in his own palace somewhere else, and set a mark upon the forehead of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abomination that be done in the midst thereof. And unto the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city, and smite, let not your eyes spare, neither have ye perished. They utterly old and young, both maids and little children, and women, and come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Well, that's the proximate fulfillment starting at the Passover, 2002 at Gilead Center in Kermit, Texas, the third feeding pastor for the Seventh-day Adventists that had the purpose to restore the sanctuary system that set up true worship 1970 on until 2003 for voters. He was in charge of it. Then they began at the ancient man, Ezekiel 9:6. That would be the prophet of the candlestick of Laodicea, the seventh church. That's that woman, Mr. Bellman, sits on the heads of those seven churches. Laodicea was the seventh one, fulfilling the seven churches being all grouped together here in the last day. The other six represents the Protestant churches, which were before the house, Ezekiel 9:1-6. For Ezekiel's prophecy plainly reveals that this cleansing work takes place in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and Vicky Hollis says parentheses in Jerusalem. Now, it takes place in the spiritual Jerusalem, which represents the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, Genesis 49:10, wherever it was set up the first time. Now, this was set up, this new Jerusalem was set up here with Elijah David, a message of 2003 at the Kermit, Texas. In the closing out of the judgment of the dead, the sixth seal, the sixth trumpet, closing out the last prophet of the Adventist Church, bringing the closing work to the Seventh Day Adventist Church that the Sister White talked about in Volume 3 of the Testimony at 266 and 267. She says the closing work for the Adventist Church is a seal in 144,000. So the Adventist Church still are waiting for their closing work as far as that part is concerned. But her last prophet for her during the judgment of the dead period from 1844 to 2002, 2003, Rosh Hashanah. He was the angel of the seventh candlestick, later said Revelation 3:14-17. Unfaithful from among the faithful for the time for the destroying of the terrors. Now that's these false ministers and those that they had deceived and taken the mark of the beast that in Revelation 19:19-21 talks about that very thing. Matthew 13:30. For the calling out of the bad fish, Matthew 13:47-9. For the purifying of the church, and that would be Revelation 14:1 when and the 144,000 are sitting on the mount, or seen standing on the mount with Yahshua when he comes in his second advent. And also testimonies of Volume 5 of L.G. White, page 8, for the purifying of the ministry of the tribes of Levi, Malachi 3:1-2, and for the cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14, for the judgment work for the living, in the spirit of the prophecy is our day has to say. But the days of the purification of the seventh day administration are hastening on apace. For God will have a people pure and true, and the mighty sifting soon to take place. We shall be better able for the measure of the strength of Israel. For the signs reveal that the time is near when Yahshua will manifest that his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge this lower. Thus we see that the church, as the Yahshua is a sanctuary, is the first to feel the stroke of the wrath of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh. For the ancient man, that is your inscribed prophets, those in charge of the candlestick of their respective churches, those unto whom Yahweh has given a great light and who has stood as the guardians of the people. So Rosh Hashanah, the last prophet given great light, and by publishing the creation calendar and teaching my people, my government, that message alone stood as a guardian for the whole Seventh-day Adventist Church worldwide. But Rosh Hashanah claims to have sent his message to 600 mission stations in 1971. He said, guardians of the spiritual interests of the people had betrayed their trust. They had taken the position that we need not look for the miracles and the marked manifestation of the Yahweh's power as in the former days. Times have changed. These are words to strengthen their unbelief, and they say that Yahshua will not do good, not really do evil. He is too merciful for the visiting of his people and the judgment. Thus peace and safety is the cry of the men who will never again lift up their voice like a trumpet for the son of Yahweh's people. Their transgression and the house of Jacob, their sin. Each time those that would not part are the ones who fear the just vengeance of an offended Yahweh. Men, maidens, and little children all perish together. Testimony of Volume 5, page 8, 2:11. And the Apostle Peter adds, "For the time has come that judgment that first begins in the house of Yahweh, and if it first begins there, first shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of the Yahweh. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the unrighteous and the sinner appear?" 1 Peter 4:17. Or 4:17-18. Since the Yahweh's people of today are not in the land of the Edom, but they are in the land of the spiritual Edom, here in 2023, it tells us that they were not in the land of Edom in 1947, when he wrote this article, and he wrote it in the present tense. Since the Yahweh's people of today are not in the land of Edom, south of the Palestine, that are scattered throughout the earth, and since Yeshua is to slay their enemies in order for the friend of them, the truth is obvious. These are the antiquity Edomites and Bozrah. After Esau of the old sold his birthright for a mess of pottage, he was called Edom, and the name Bozrah means the sheepfold. Finally then, the Edomites of Isaiah 63:1 are those who in our day have sold their birthright. And here at the same time are persecuting as did Esau persecute Jacob. So the Seventh-day Adventist ministers today, they are placing their positions by the Jesuit General Conference of the hierarchy rulership of the Adventist Church. They place their lay ministers in these pulpits around the world, and they're the ones that will never descend the birthright that was Jacob inherited, and they will not fulfill the birthright that they inherited at the beginning. So these are not spiritual men of Yahweh after all. These are usurpers, offshoots, invaders, infiltrators, false accusers of the brethren, those who have bought it, so to speak. Thus it is that as the Yahweh people had to be delivered from the Sanhedrin in the Yahshua's day, they must now be delivered from the General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist, as the unshakable Edomite brethren, in order to be led into all the truth and into the Father's land. Okay, for the words, the year of my redeeming is come, and the day of vengeance is in my heart. Curtis says that Yeshua's strange work in the Edom and Bozrah, which means sheepfold, is the day of the vengeance and the sign of the untypical Israel, as the church purifies the 144,000, the first priest has the title now of prophet, priest, and king, sitting upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel and the whole world to their homeland. Isaiah 63:7-10. I will mention the loving kindnesses of Yahshua and the praises of Yahshua. According to all that Yahshua hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of the Israel, which you have bestowed upon them according unto his mercy, and according unto the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. And so he was the Savior. So he's a children that will not lie. That's the key word right there. If you just have somebody comes along and accuses the prophet of being false, and when he's not false, then they're the liars, the false prophet, and the prophet remains true. So he was their Savior. Okay, and all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the anger of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemies, and he fought against them. For the testimony of his person revealed that a complete transformation has taken place in him, that he has caught a vision of the assured goodness of his long-suffering and of his tender mercy. He is convinced that the Yeshua will not acquit the guilty, free his testimony. From his testimony, he is also seen that the Yeshua is not a cruel, a brutish person seeking to kill and to destroy, but that he is kind and merciful, patient and just. And just that he is worthy to be praised for this person and endeavors to prove this unto others by calling attention unto the Yeshua's dealing with his ancient people, showing that he bore along with them, that only for their own good did he punish them to bring them back unto him and away from the idolatry. I finally found this word idolatry and the Reiki Hall of Writing of this subject. It's so hard to get to acknowledge the real situation using the word idolatry, and the blood of the everlasting covenant is the most powerful words going both ways, and yet the most frequently used, and eternal ruin. Moreover, the scripture plainly shows that the need of the deliverance today is similar unto that of the Moses day. Isaiah 63:11-15. Can he remember the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him, that led them by the right hand of the Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them? To make himself an everlasting home, a name that led them through the deep as an horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble as a beast goeth down into the valley. For the spirit of the Yeshua caused him to rest, and so did thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. Look down from heaven and behold, from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory, where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercy toward me, are they restrained? Since there is in the prophecy of for a cry for a similar deliverance as was seen in the Moses time, the facts are obvious, for the church has been led into the bondage and now needs to be delivered. Years ago, inspiration forewarned. The church has turned back from following Yahshua, her leader, and is steadily retreating toward Egypt. And yet few are alarmed or astonished at their want of the spiritual power. Doubt and even disbelief of the testimonies of the Spirit of Yahweh is loving our churches everywhere, for the sake that have the best ministers who preach itself instead of Yahshua, would have it best, for the testimonies are unread and unappreciated, for Yahweh has spoken unto you. A light has been shining from his word and from the testimonies, and those have been slighted and disregarded, but the result is apparent in the lack of the purity and the devotion and earnest faith among us. Testimony of Brian 5:17. Isaiah 63:16-17. Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Yahshua, art our Father, the Son. You're our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. O Yahshua, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways? Verse John 14:6, Yahshua says in his own words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And hardened our hearts from thy fear. Return for thy servants' sake, the tribes of thine inheritance. So return for the sake of the 12 tribes. 144,000 has to come forth. For the people that are crying for the deliverance of those whom Abraham did not know, and whom Israel, the Israel of today, as the denomination, as the Seventh-day Adventist denomination does not acknowledge, that would be the division, Seventh-day Adventist. That is, as pointed out at the beginning of our study, Abraham was ignorant of the Christians, and the people that cry out for the deliverance, that is the remnant of the house of the Seventh-day Adventist Church during the 12th prayer by God, that's when it takes place, that the fulfillment of the prophecy are not by the antiquity Israel denomination acknowledged as such. Thus it is that though Abraham of the old does not know us, and though the denomination of the Adventist Church does not acknowledge us, but it's the General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventists that doesn't acknowledge us. Yet we know, for Ezekiel Holofernes, he broke out of the Adventist Church and was kicked out by the General Conference in 1930. He started the Rod, the Seventh-day Rod Church. He was calling himself Davidian, children of the mother church, Seventh-day Adventist, that was kicked out. But Abraham didn't know them. The church wouldn't acknowledge them. They kicked them out. Brother Johnson wouldn't acknowledge me. I represent the house, the true house of David, the kingdom, everlasting kingdom of heaven. And Brother Johnson, the last prophet of the Adventist church, wouldn't acknowledge me. He kicked me out. So the chicken out went all the way from 1930 to 2003. Yet we know that Yahweh has given us a message, the Shepherd God. He talks to him in 1947, and that a change has taken place in us. Yeah, it took place in them, because if he had started the Shepherd God in 1930, he had about, he developed at least 4,000 or 5,000 Adventist laity that the Adventist Church to continue on with the new light with that B.T. Hollis taught, and to join his church, the Shepherd God. That we are no longer satisfied, lukewarm, and that we, Shepherd God, the Building Seventh Day Adventists, are no longer unconscious of our latest sin, wretchedness, misery, poverty. So that prophecy was fulfilled at Beecher Hollow from 1930 to 1970. That had a 40-year prophecy at Beecher Hollow. Now, of those that Abraham did not know, they had a 40-year prophecy, 1930 to 1970. Okay, it says, the spiritual misery, poverty, blindness, and nakedness. So let's do that again. It says, and that a change has taken place in us, the Shepherd God, the Vision of the Adventist, that we have now been broken off from the Adventist Church and formed our own organization entitled the Vision of the Adventist. We are no longer satisfied, lukewarm, and that we are no longer unconscious of our latest sin, wretchedness, misery, poverty, blindness, and nakedness. For we know that this is the work of the Yeshua in our hearts, that we are truly being born again, born through the Holy Spirit, that we are now better Seventh Day Adventists than we were before. We can therefore with the confidence say, doubtless thou art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is everlasting. Though we are not constantly sarcastically told by our Seventh Day Adventist brethren, no, you are not the Seventh Day Adventist. Isaiah 63:18-19. For the people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while. Our adversary have tried it down. So the people of your holiness would be the apostles at the cross. They became a purified section according to Acts chapter 5. Down at thy sanctuary, we are thine. Thou never bearest root over them. They were not called by thy name. Those Sanhedrin, Pharisees, Sadducees, they were not called by his name. Who our ancestors were in the land and enjoyed the sanctuary service for a number of years, yet considering that they were to possess it forever, then the statement, the people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while, is altogether true. For the Arabs and the unconverted Jews who now possess the land are not true believers of the law of Moses of the sanctuary. For they are not called by the Yeshua's name. So those Arabs that are occupying the land are not called by his name, and that's why they cannot remain there. So it says, the Arabs and the unconverted Jews. Now that's present truth even today in 2023, 24. This is present truth today. They they are not Yahshua's people. They are not taught by his name. Now possess the land are not Christians. They are not called by Yahshua's name and never have been. As Isaiah 63 said again, O Yahshua, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways and hardened our hearts from thy fear? Return for thy servant's sake unto the tribes of thine inheritance. Here is one who recognizes that the people of Yahweh are in error, not following Yahweh's ways, and that they do not fear him. Let's do it again. Here is one who recognizes that the people of Yahweh are in the error and are not following the Yahshua, the Son, John 14:6, his ways, and they are not keeping his commandments, so John 15:10. If you love me, Yahshua said to the apostles, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, John 15:10. And that they do not fear him. For the messengers, the plea is therefore for Yahshua to return unto them, not to forsake them forever. For the prayer of chapter 63 continues. Throughout the chapter 64, and gives us a good example as to what our prayers should be about at this very time. So let us read 2, Isaiah 64:1-12. We're going to close this study as the number one of volume one of the Timely Greetings, number 43. The year of his redeem. We're going to have a part two to finish out this study. Part two, year of his redeem. One time it rings number 43. It says, Isaiah 64:1-12. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth. For the fire causes the waters to boil, to make thy name known unto thine adversary, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible thing, which we looked not for, thou camest down, and for the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath thine eye seen. O Yahshua, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him, thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art lost, for we have sinned in those, and is continuance, and we shall be saved. Let's see, for we have sinned, and those is continuance, and we, let's read that again. Thou meetest him that rejoices and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways. For behold, thou art wroth, Yahshua, with us, for we have sinned. And those is continuance, and we shall be saved. that we are all as an unclean thing, and all our unrighteousness are as a filthy rag. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities are like the wind, have taken us away, and there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself for the taking hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Yahshua, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Be not wroth, very sore, O Yahshua, now remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all thy people. Thy holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem is a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our father's crazy, is burned up with the fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Wilt thou refrain thyself for these things, O Yahshua? Wilt thou lay hold of thy peace and afflict us very sore? Now is our opportunity, now is our privilege for the making of that prayer personally our own. Now we can intelligently say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Now we can wholeheartedly respond, how shall we sing the Yahshua song in a strange land, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem? Let my right hand forget her cunning, if I do not remember thee, that my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem above thy chief joy. Remember, O Yahshua, the children of Edom, the Esauites, the ones that despised their birthright and wouldn't have anything to do with it, that didn't want to be the progenitors of the righteous line, because they themselves didn't want to be righteous. They wanted to be hunters in the day of the Jerusalem. He says, raise it, in other words, burn it to the ground, even unto the foundation thereof. Psalm 137:47. Now that you plainly see the signs and the time of our redemption and of the day of Yahshua's vengeance against unrepentant sinners fast approaching, you are urged to make ready, to sigh and cry against the abomination done the seventh day of his church today, for the receiving of the mark of the deliverance by the man with the riders in corn by his side, Yahshua, the man dressed in linen. When the five slaughtering angels go through the city to slay utterly old and young, maids and women and little children, and not come not near the man upon who has the mark, and begin at my sanctuary, be among the first fruits. Now you can happily and understand and seek the kingdom of the heaven and his righteousness, and assuredly know that the material things of life should not predominate over the spiritual, that this shall be added unto you, Matthew 6:25-34. Heaven therefore expects you without delay to definitely and openly take your stand on the side of the truth. Now that the year of his redeemer has come, that the signs of the day of the vengeance are here, now is the opportune moment for the making of your decision. You cannot afford to procrastinates or says, for the Spirit of all the truth. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit said, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the troubled vision, in the day of the temptation, and the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw thy works 40 years, wherefore I was agreed with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, so I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brother, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of the unbelief in the departing from the living Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, that exhort one another daily, while it is called today, not yesterday, not the day of the miller or the white, lest any of you should be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we are made partakers of the Yahshua, if we hold fast unto the beginning of our confidence unto the end. But it is said that today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, albeit not all, that came out of Egypt by the hand of Moses, but with to whom was he grieved those 40 years? And was it not with those that had sinned at Kadesh Barnea that had made the golden, coerced Aaron into making the golden calf and wanted to go back to Egypt, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness for 40 years, and unto whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, that unto them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of the unbelief. Hebrews 3:7-19.